Welcome to Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, where we have a lot of fun. Today we can have audience participation. We had a great, I want to thank Stanton Friedman if he's listening tonight. Yeah, it was great having those guys on last week. That was a good show. And we played it on Saturday night. And tomorrow night I'll just have something else like I normally do. But it was really cool having them on. Tonight I want to, you know, I've sort of been working with, we've been talking a lot about hologram and quantum mechanics. And I've been working on that and working on you guys out there in radio land to sound off stuff on you to see what the listening understanding is of what I'm trying to talk about, because I'm working on my book, Inside Track. And it's very important to me and part of it. I mean, my books cover politics. They cover everything, but they also cover, you know, science at some point. That's all, because that's what I like to do. And by the way, I welcome 1340 Tan Talk, you know, down in Florida, everybody down there. You guys have been a great listening base for almost a year now on top of BBS Radio. And so anyway, we're going to be on September 15th, I'm going to be up in L.A. doing some lecture work up there. And then October, which is on the front of the BBS Radio website, we'll be back in New York from about the 19th through the 23rd. And that's on the front page of BBS website. I have a lot of new stuff to put up. I'm going to have a lot of new guests in the future. And by the way, on the I want to thank the people down in Fairfield on my tracking down www.catchserafini.com. Because of my listenership out there, we caught him. We have him now. And I'm working with the state of California to get him extradited out here, because there is a warrant for his arrest out here. And he had taken me for a heck of a lot of money on an automobile transaction and a couple of my friends, and I have the Internal Revenue on him, service, and the FBI both on him now. And he was visited by an ex-Internal Revenue and an ex-DEA agent on Monday of last week. So we can catch criminals. Thank you for bringing this up. The FBI sends a thank you out also. He is a person of special interest to them right now. They're going to be more interested soon, and I can't really go into the details, but anyway, there's a lot going on here. And that, you know, we all have that. And you know, I don't know. I've got a friend of mine in the Los Angeles Police Department. I'm trying to get him to come on. He's in the homicide. Can't give his name out. But I'm trying to get him to do an LAPD thing with us. And the reason I want to do that is because there's a lot of people that get pulled over, and there's a lot with Homeland Security and the martial law out there. A lot of police get a little too loose with people, a little too crazy. They really step over the line. The line is a little bit shorter now, or narrower than it used to be. But we still have a lot of rights, and I've seen a lot of people's rights violated. So I want to have a section of my program where I have law enforcement on there, and not all the time, but maybe once every month, or, you know, once a month kind of thing. And so that we can really understand from the other point of view what goes on in the American dream here, especially with the Al-Qaeda stuff and all the terrorism things. So these are some of the things that I'm working on and made great progress with. And, you know, working as a team, I found that in law enforcement, that there are a lot of people out there in law enforcement that think like we do, that there is stepping over the line, and they try to police within their own ranks to get this under control. But it's going to take some time, because a lot of guys are obviously badge heavy. You know, you give them a little... You know, the search and seizure laws have changed with the Homeland Security Act, and things are a little bit different. But the BBS Radio, you know, it's a health, science, and energy show. I like to cover all the bases. It's not a variety show, but we do cover a lot of stuff. And as part of my political part, law enforcement is a big thing with me. And I believe in it, but I also believe that we have our rights, and everybody out there needs to know. I feel a lot of the people out there are very ignorant of what to say if you get pulled over in a traffic situation, if I say a speeding ticket, or any other reason they pull you over. You need to know what your rights are. We're going to be covering that in future programs. So tonight I'm going back to my, I'm working a lot now with the quantum theory and theoretical physics and cosmology. And that's what I want to cover tonight, if you guys were interested. And, you know, basically quantum theory states that for every object there is a wave function that measures the probability of finding an object at a certain point in space and time. Quantum theory also states that you really never know the state of a particle until you've made an observation. And particles go into what are called Schrodinger wave functions to become noticed. And I wrote on this a long, long, long time ago. I wrote about these different particles in my book, Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light. And my point there was that particles in the universe are very influenced by the mind. The mind, they have to be. In quantum mechanics, for example, let's say that you're going to mathematically plot, you're going to just walk across the room. All you're going to do is walk across the room. But in the process of walking across the room, in quantum physics, it takes into place the fact that you walk across the room in every direction. You walk from outside of the room to the inside of the room. You walk across the room when you're alive or dead, and you walk across the room in parallel universes. And it takes every possibility into account before you finally walk across the room. And I know that sounds a little bit crazy and a little bit stupid, but that's how cosmology works, and that's how a hologram works. Because what it's really saying, what we're really saying here, is that when you understand, as in quantum mechanics, the final equation is solved when you make an observation. And so the other thing it talks about is the electron. The electron going around a proton, as I've said many times, does not just go around. It goes around and stops and goes around and stops. If you were to take a piece of paper and put an electron beam generator away from it, and shoot a piece of, shoot an electron beam like out of a cathode ray tube into a spot on that piece of paper, you would think, well, that spot is where the beam goes. It hits the spot, it's going to make one little hole in the paper, but it won't. It'll hit the spot, it'll make a whole series of propagation waves on a parallel line across that paper, even though the beam is only aimed at the center. Because there is a wave, a particle wave, simultaneously moving in every direction, even though the electron beam is focused. So the main part of the energy will appear to hit the very center part, and the rest of the paper will show it's obviously hit many, many different parts in a wave motion. And that's what quantum mechanics talks about. How that affects us in daily life in the hologram. And what the technology, for example, is with the projector technology that we've developed at Paradigm. And we talk to people about programming a projector. You know, somebody wears one, and somebody else has got a standalone, and then there's some interaction. And people talk about and see that when you make a wish, the wish is highly compounded by the use of this technology, because what this technology does is it focuses the wave equations. It actually focuses them, and it makes the experiment, the point of observation, be simultaneous with the waves themselves. So this means, in simple terms, it's like Alice in Wonderland. You can make a wish, and it will come true. It comes true not just in a linear manner like you would think it would do. It has to come true because it looks at every single possibility of not coming true. So when you're making this wish, You're making a statement to the universe into the hologram, which is a wave function of all electrons in the universe, all of them, and simultaneously you have the attention, you have the focus of being able to control everything simultaneously. What happens with most people is, what I have seen anyway, is that when you give the person the ability to do that, they don't, number one, understand what their abilities are, and B, they're unable to focus properly because people are sidetracked. It takes a discipline to go into a thought pattern and get 100% concentration on one thing, not thinking about some bug landing on your arm, or you got a scratch where it itches, or you know, do I need a haircut, while you're thinking about something else. Let all that go and just focus your energy 100%. And what happens is then the universe, by its own laws of physics and cosmology, has to bring this to you. It absolutely has to happen. And I'm not saying that, you know, that to use it for bad or good. I'm just saying I use it with discretion because it works. The bad use of this technology, of course, has created wars and all kinds of stuff. But the good use of it is the good use of this is that you can do tremendous healing. Okay, now how do you healing? People say, well, how do you do healing? Well, first of all, in order to have an overcoming pathogenic situation in the body, meaning a pathogen develops when your body cannot, your immune system can't process it anymore, into a point that there's cellular breakdown. Okay, looking at quantum mechanics is saying there's 1,000 reasons why karmically that you had a breakdown and you got sick and you're now in this sick position. But there's also 1,000 reasons why you're not sick at all and you think that you're sick. And there's another 1,000 reasons that says you're well. So you have all these choices. You know, it's even in the scriptures and all this kind of stuff. These choices are there, but man has a tendency to be driven by desire and not aspiration. So being driven by desire, he allows that desire to wander and meander all over the hologram. And when he does that, he ends up in a diseased condition. So it's not a mind game, it's a focus game. It's a basic focus game. And I see a person here on the fast chat says, can you explain how the holographic projectors work? I'm being asked that question. And what I'm explaining to you is this is how they work. When you look at an electron going around a proton, it's in an infinite number of spaces, in an infinite number of times simultaneously, okay, number one. Number two, an electron goes up to the speed of light and then slows down, goes up to the speed of light and slows down, and then sometimes stops. Simultaneously, it stops, and then it's doing the speed of light again. So this is basically creating a huge amount of energy. If you were to look at E equals MC squared, energy equals mass times the velocity of light, you know, squared, you take a one pound fountain pen that's 12 inches long. As you accelerate it towards the speed of light, when it gets up to 90% of the speed of light, this 12-inch pen is now 1 inch long to the relative observer, and it's going into a different time. Mass-wise, it's probably it has more energy than 10,000 tons being accelerated at say 80 miles an hour. It's got an infinite amount of mass. As it reaches 99.9% of the speed of light, it's very barely visible in our universe, and it has an infinite amount of energy, like an atomic bomb. Okay, that's how much energy your thoughts can command. That your thoughts can command an infinite number amount of energy if they're focused properly. When you take an electron, when you look at an electron and it stops and it vibrates, you look at the proton simultaneously. The proton is 1,645 times heavier than the electron. When it stops around the proton, it releases from the nucleus of the proton what are called quarks. Quarks are held together by an energy called gluons. And there's basically six quarks in a proton. Inside a quark are hadrons. Inside of hadrons are leptons, down to what are called mesons, and then baryons, and then another particle called bosons. When the boson is there, it is what's called the Higgs boson. The Higgs boson gives mass to the proton. It gives mass to the proton and the electron. It comes from that particle, okay, called the Higgs boson. This is what's called the standard model in physics. When you look at, if you were to plot that energy field and look at it in some form of tensor math, or as an artist draw a picture of it during this change, all the way down to its core. And by the way, when we describe this this change from electrons stopping, breaking down into other particles, that's called the string theory in cosmology, the string theory. At that point, when this takes place, the string theory appears to be much like DNA in your body. The DNA, if you remember, is four basic amino acids, two sugars, two phosphates. And what happens is those amino acids form genes in our body, and the genes, of course, then form cells in the rest of our body. When a human being reproduces cells, it's called mitosis. And what happens is the DNA has a long strand, and on it are these solid protein masses, and these are called chromosomes, and there's 46 of them, you know, at a time. And when all 46 are present, then the cell can split. The energy that comes to make a cell reproduce comes from another form of quantum mechanics, and more into the relativity theory now, and it comes from what's called a black hole and the dissolution of a black hole. Remember our galaxy that we talked about on earlier shows, our Milky Way goes around a black hole. You don't see it, but that's what creates a gravity for it, like a whirlpool. And that energy goes into that black hole across an event horizon, is sucked in, and simultaneously, because everything is, the electron is there and here simultaneously. This is not, now there's no more speed of light between the black hole, which is the center of our galaxy, to here. That same electron can move back and forth way beyond the speed of light. Okay, this is called space-time singularity, and this is where we start looking at negatively and positively curved space. So when you start working with a hologram, you are instantaneously working with all of the electrons in the entire galaxy. People don't actually realize that. When that energy happens, it jumps over here because there's no distance between a black hole when you start realizing the energy of quantum mechanics and physics. And so simultaneously, it provides enough energy for every single person on this planet and many others to reproduce a cell. Because that's, where does the energy come from? Why does suddenly 46 chromosomes turn up and the cell divides? Why is that? Well, I'll just explain it to you. It's in my books, but so you understand. Now, when you start looking at that pattern, that actually forms a pattern. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard of the Tibetan term dorji, a dorji, okay? A dorji it's like a big cross, like, you know, four-sided cross, and on the end it has open arms, like circles that go, you know, into themselves on all four ends of the cross. It's called a dorji pattern. It's a Pleiadian depiction of eight parallel universes. And math currently, when it starts looking at math, it looks at possibilities of parallel universes in some of the new math, the physicists, the cosmologists are using. And one model points out there's eight parallel universes. Another one that's more common now is pointing out that there's 11 different stages or dimensions. But we work with basically it's eight, because with eight it's an infinite number and you can go on and on and on. So when you start to look at that, now you look at a projector. You take one of the projectors, a big one or a small one, and you look at it, it looks like one section, one half of a Dorji field, okay? But instead of having just the basic carvings that a Tibetan Dorji has, it has little pyramids on it that are right side up and upside down when you hold it at a 90-degree angle. These in turn, define the hologram. These designs, remember, we're interfering now. We're actually not interfering, but we're displacing space and time with a physical item, and that is the physical design of what the projector looks like. And on the back of it, it has another program, another feature, that also looks like a figure eight. It looks very similar to an infinity sign repeated a couple of times on the back. But if you look at the back of the projector, the infinity sign is only crossing. In other words, infinity signs like two circles with an X between them. On the back of it, you only see one crossing, only one. That's the center point of consciousness. The same thing on the front. When you look at one of them on the front, it's like two receptors, or it's like two satellite dishes. And when you look at it from the front, you'll see all these pyramids, but you'll only see one pyramid with four little notches cut in it where the actual field pattern actually intercepts it and goes through. And that represents the black hole in that one point represents the black hole that our entire galaxy rotates around. So now what you have is you have a theoretical model made in a physical form that actually duplicates an energy field, and so therefore it becomes a resonant structure with the universe. So this design is not something that somebody made up. It was something that the Andromedans brought to us a long time ago to work with as a tool. When you look at it further with the newer ones, you'll also see two three-sided pyramids. If you look at a mysterious face on Mars, right next to it is a mysterious, very large three-sided pyramid that correlates to the three-sided pyramid, which is repeated twice on the face of a projector. It's repeated on the large ones and the small ones. So now what you have is you have like it. Now the projector starts to become, for example, a almost like a key that can unlock the universe. So when you focus your energy onto a structure, when you bounce them off, what you're doing is you're bouncing your energy off of a form that allows you to go everywhere and every when within the hologram. And that's pretty interesting stuff. So you can call in today if anybody wants to call in and talk about some of this stuff. I can give you some phone numbers here. They're on the front page of BBS Radio. The toll-free number in the USA is 877-876-5227. Another one, Canada, would be 888-815-9756. And the direct line is 530-876-3222 overseas. It's dial 1 first. So if anybody wants to discuss any of the topics, I only do this show once a month, as you know, as the open mic. It's only once a month. I usually have Steve Barish on once, and two times out of the month I'll have a guest. So, on different topics. So this is, we're back to the one-time, one-up show, where you can actually call in. I don't have to, you know, guest or another person on here, and we can talk. Or you can go to the BBS Fast Chat, and we can discuss things and your questions. So I really enjoy, doing BBS Radio. I've done it for quite a while now. And it's good to see that the station is expanding, and it's good to see that occasionally people call in, not always, depending on, I know I've switched my time, which is a little bit different for a bunch of people, but I need to have more time on the weekend to do other things, especially more in my book, Getting Gun. Now, I have a guy on here, his name is William, he asked another question. Holographic sound. Will you have that soon? Okay, let me explain about what holographic sound is. It's the reason I don't have it is I have to program what's called a wave machine. It's a machine by Korg. They don't make them anymore, but it's a wave sampling machine. To create holographic sound, it kind of goes like this, and yeah, it will influence the. It won't. And by the way, you asked if will add power to the projectors. No, it adds power to you. It actually allows you, it inserts power that you already have with latent within you, so it allows you to insert your own power. Holographic sound works this way. Let's say you have a stereo, and you have a stereo in front of you, and you got a speaker on your right, and you got a speaker on your left. And it's exactly 12 feet across. Yeah, I have a caller. Go ahead.
Hello, Dr. Bell.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Good. Who's calling in?
This is Gail in Tennessee.
Oh, how are you doing down there?
I'll talk to you.
How do you like my Friday hours?
Well, it's taken a minute to remind myself on the weekends that, hey, he's not on Saturdays. I got to tune in on Friday.
Yeah, well, you know, believe it or not, when I do big shows like the Art Bell Show and that, like I usually do on Wednesday,
yeah.
Do the Art Bell Show with Art on the weekends, I think more people are tuned in during the week. I actually wanted to do it like on a Wednesday, but I couldn't get that time slot.
Yeah.
So Friday was fine, you know, and I wanted it earlier for people like you so you didn't have to stay up in the middle of the night. Because now, what is it back there, 8 o'clock, 8:30?
This is true, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's 8:30 here, yeah.
So what's going on back there in Tennessee?
Well, I don't know. I think it's probably need to talk about what's going on all over this country.
Yeah. What do you think of the Bin Laden tape with his new dyed beard and everything?
Okay,
he's really getting stylish, isn't he?
One more time. The man is dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many times can they resurrect this man?
I don't know. They keep doing a fine job on it. It keeps the machine working, the political machine working.
Right? Absolutely. And it's so convenient, the timing. Every time they need him, he appears.
Yeah.
And now he must.
9/11.
Yeah, and he must have a contract with Lady Clairol now, too.
Yeah, it looks like it, doesn't it?
Oh, my heavens. I hope the American people are not falling for this.
Well, you know, I tracked him up out of Tora Bora up into Russia and China.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I did some tracking on him.
Yeah.
And I haven't tuned into him in a long time. But
you still think he's alive?
Years ago, actually.
Yeah, this man, how can some Saudi Arabian with severe kidney problems be walking around in underground caves, I guess with he's wheeling his little kidney dialysis machine around with him, and he's still alive, and this has been since 2001?
Yeah.
Oh, give me a break.
Well, when he ran out the back door of Tora Bora and he went up to Dushanbe. He went and ended up in Dushanbe in Tajikistan.
Uh-huh.
Dushanbe is a real interesting town. That's where a 1,000-year-old drug trade has been going on. So you pretty much, if you're not a drug dealer or, you know, a big trader on that road, coming from China, the poppy fields from China.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, then you're not going to be able to come up there undercover and do too well because everybody knows everybody.
Exactly, especially, what is he, almost 7 foot tall?
Yeah, you know, that's the other thing.
I mean, come on.
He's the outside basketball king.
Yeah, he could stand out like a sore thumb in a crowd.
I know.
Height alone would give him away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was there, and then he went up to what's called a Hindustu mountain, and then he went across the bottom of the Gobi Desert, and he went into China. And I actually drew the building he was in.
Uh-huh.
And he got acupuncture healing there for several months.
Uh-huh.
And then this was in December, and the following March, this is all 9/11 that year.
Uh-huh.
In March, he went up to Laos, which is north of the Philippines.
Right.
And he started. That's when all that Al Qaeda action took place in the Philippines. It's like when the sales reps are out there, and the principal comes to town, they get active. You know.
Yeah.
It was real interesting tracking him. After that, I didn't pay attention to him anymore. They didn't have any, you know.
I just get the feeling that he's kind of like gone. Has it
not on the
3D world?
He's not that coherent anymore.
Huh?
He's not that coherent, but you got to understand that he's part of the Bush family.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, and
Daddy Bush still sits on the Bin Laden Construction Company.
Yeah.
And I hear that they also have some type of partnership with the Carlyle Group. I mean, they go way back.
Yeah.
Way back. And that's why this is the convenient boogeyman.
Yeah, he's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. It's just phenomenal. Yeah. Dr. Bell, what is your take on all of this really strange trading that's been going on? I'm sure you've heard the rumors going around. I guess it's not rumor. It is a fact that some body or entity has put very large puts on the market that the American stock market, the Dow, is going to drop, what, by 35-40% by September 21st?
Right.
And this is the kind of trading that went on right before 9/11.
Right.
And now you have some nukes that just happen. They have the codes to program them that are flown from North Dakota down to Louisiana. And there's supposed to be 5, then there's 6. What are they missing one or what? And now they're telling the whole world that the military is going to we're going to ground all military flights, on September 14th so that they can get their protocol straight. What do you think about all that?
Well, remember, they claimed that the Pentagon got hacked the other day.
Yeah, I think there's more in the Pentagon that got hacked.
Yeah.
Morad,
possibly.
They're blaming this on China.
Okay, let me explain to you how this works, okay? Because it actually falls into what I'm talking about tonight, quantum mechanics.
Uh-huh.
All right? In computers, where you have codes, you have these Intel chips and other chips that run a clock oscillator at a linear rate of, speed fast enough in the gigahertz range, which is pretty fast. Okay. But what you're looking at here is an electron that is consistently going in a calibrated, i.e. quartz crystal, direction. And so therefore, all the codes have to fall within the possibilities of what the computer clock is capable of generating. Now, when you look at gigahertz, all right, we're not talking a million cycles per second. We're talking a billion cycles per second,
Okay. Which
is a lot more than a million. A billion is like, 10 times more.
Right.
10 times 10 to the 8. Now, when we have a new computer out now, all right, it's called the quantum computer. And what it does, the way it works, it doesn't have a chip in it like we had anymore. Now, going back to the old computer, it seems like, I got a clock that's going in a billion cycles per second. In other words, it's cycling its information at a billion times per second. That's huge. I mean, the amount of electronics that we had on board the Saturn when I worked with von Braun back in those days, there wasn't much more electronics than in a good positive calculator. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you have a computer that goes a billion times, you've got a heck of a lot more than a calculator in there. You've got a lot of stuff, and so you're looking at what are the possibilities of cracking a nuclear code? It has to be in x times 10 to the 8. That's a lot of one in many billion. Okay, and then if you sequence that out a billion times, so you take a billion to the billionth power almost, which a computer will do with a different series of numbers, you got a hell of a slim chance on that kind of a technology of ever finding out a code, right?
Right.
You follow me? It's pretty darn hard to figure out a 10-digit code,
It's pretty
hard to do that, or a 13-digit code.
Yeah.
But not with a quantum computer, which they have now.
Well, they probably got a whole bunch of them.
What it does is it looks at atoms, the spin of an atom, Okay.
Yeah.
Electrons going positive, counterclockwise, clockwise, and it bounces a laser beam off of the electron's orbit, which opens the door into the astral plane, so that the core of the computer now has got the possibilities of light.
It's artificial intelligence.
It can calculate a code as complicated as a normal computer. It can take the most complicated code there you can imagine and break it down and quicker than I just say boo.
Whoa.
Yeah, now you understand. Because it's quantum. And just like I was saying earlier in the show, the way the projector works, it looks at every possibility. Like you walk across the room in quantum mechanics, and you go into what are called Schroeder functions, meaning that I'm not going to walk across the room. I am walking across the room, but I'm also walking sideways through the room. I'm not even to the room yet. I've been across the room already. All those possibilities are these Schroeder equations. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With the quantum computer, it does all that in seconds. So
yeah,
not only does it look at a code, it looks at before the code was ever thought of. It looks at what's life 100 years from now, the code's forgotten. It looks at all of that simultaneously, and it can bust a code down. And unless you do a code on a quantum computer,
wow,
you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a joke. It is an absolute, all computers with all passwords and everything, they haven't got a chance. Because now it's playing with the hologram.
Well, now let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you say they have quantum computer ability now,
yeah,
who's they?
Well,
how many countries have that?
I don't know which countries have it. I know that we have it.
Of course.
But I know that, and that's probably what we're doing. We're retrofitting rather quickly, because if we have it, the Chinese have it, because they probably are making some part of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if you read any of the popular journals that are out, the Chinese make all our stuff now, or the Mexicans will be soon, as soon as we have the 600-foot highway opened up between Mexico and Canada.
Yeah, you heard that North Carolina is going to start the first NAU international driver, universal driver's license, too, right?
Yeah, I don't know that, but I believe it. I haven't gotten that far into it. But we are so close now with where, you know, and China, you know, not only does China, like, for example, that new wonderful phone that came out on AT&T, made by Apple.
Yeah.
Whatever that thing is called, that new phone.
Yeah.
I won't have one because I hate AT&T.
Uh-huh.
The bottom line is, they took that phone, it's the new phone that's all over, and they copied it, and they made it 50 times better than it is now, and they're selling it over there. They aren't selling them here, but they're selling them over there for, I don't know, $100. They're $1,000 or something over here, you know? Yeah. They've already cloned it and made it better.
Cloned
it and made it better. And I guarantee you, this quantum, and here's the other thing about China. This is the real giveaway about China. When I started Paradigm, if you wanted to have we started out using speakers and lasers, shooting into speakers with it hooked to a stereo, and that's how we moved the light around the room.
Right.
Pretty soon, my friend Fred Lord invented some transducers, and we had mirrors that electromagnetically took a pulse from the amplifier, and it moved the mirror mechanically, you know, a little actuator, which gave it more stability, more power.
Uh-huh.
Pretty soon, they took another step, and they developed these actuators that are incredibly sensitive, and all of a sudden the price of something that I would have paid $50,000 for, I can now buy the same thing for about $100. And we call a Black Widow spider, for $90. It's a 5 milliwatt that's got one of the finest little scanners in it that you can imagine, made in China, of course.
Of course.
Then the next thing was, used to, red lasers were real expensive. They got real cheap. Green lasers were real expensive. Well, they found out a better way to make green lasers using substrates, and they got real cheap. Now the blue lasers are a bit expensive, and the violet lasers are expensive.
Uh-huh.
The red and green got really cheap. You can buy a 1 watt laser now for about $3,000 and plug it into your wall. It draws no current. 15, 20 years ago, a 1 watt laser was $60,000, and you had to have a generator, an external generator, run it. Who made the developments in the leap in lasers? China. You know, I buy lasers for some of my products that we manufacture. I can buy a 5-milliwatt complete laser diode module for $4. Whole thing. And then I put it in something. So if we're looking at quantum computers, then we need to have the lasers. Well, China makes all the lasers. Now, they don't make them here no more. So there you go. That's a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
So
what would be your, to sum it all up, what do you think is in the works here?
Big tech, well, I don't know what the works are, but we're talking big technical changes. Security systems are overnight are obsolete. NORAD is a joke now. If they're hitting it with, they're going to hit it with a quantum computer. Forget it. It'll take them about 10 minutes to have every code there is, and it sounds like that's what's happening.
You know, I heard, oh golly, it's probably been a year and a half, 2 years ago, but I heard China make some boasts about the fact that if we were to ever launch out of our silos our missiles towards China, that they literally could shut them down and turn them around and have them go up and come right back down and hit us here in the United States.
I wouldn't be surprised.
They made that brag. I know I heard about this.
Yeah, no, I believe it.
And there was something about during the Clinton administration. You remember that spy plane? That
you too? Francis Powell?
No, this was a...
SR-71.
Yeah, and they kept it over there for a month and tore the whole thing apart. Finally released our pilots and stuff.
Yeah.
That was back in 96, 97.
Yeah. Well, you know why the SR-7 got replaced by the Aurora?
Because
the Russians used what's called V-beam technology and a Tesla generator, and they shot a 2-foot section off one of the wings. I forget if it was the right or left wing, port or starboard wing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that thing came home with a piece of the wing, and it was flying at about, I don't know, 80 or 90,000 feet. And they just sawed off a piece of the wing.
Oh, my goodness.
So they grounded it. That was the end. That was the last fight they ever made. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That was Russia.
Yeah. Whip, do you think that Russia and China are getting ready to do some cyber warfare with us, with our military?
I think
military?
They already are.
And,
I'll tell
and,
you what
yeah.
else. I'll tell you what else. I think Al-Qaeda, I think that's the next form of terrorism. Al-Qaeda,
yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, I have studied, you know, I have a teacher that works for the government who writes the plans for what goes on in the Middle East for we're going to react to it. And what I've learned from him is that Al-Qaeda has got, you know, they're in China, they're in Russia.
Oh, yeah.
And I know for a fact that you know, the average guys in Al-Qaeda have equivalent of a 1 or 2 PhDs. Yeah, they're not stupid.
Oh, no.
They're not stupid.
Well, but I've heard
what
that
people see is the jihadists that come over here, these guys in the suicide, and that's the lower section of it, but that's not the people that run it. They're just a grunt. You know?
Yeah.
You won't see one of these high...
They're the stoolie pigeons.
Yeah, you won't see a PhD strapping a bomb on him.
Because he's too smart to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't believe their own propaganda, that's for sure.
Well, don't you think, though, that, you know, we created bin Laden.
Oh, I know.
You know, the Mujahideen. And
the Afghani war with the Russians.
That's correct. And all those training camps they had over there, we built them for them.
Yep.
Our CIA did.
I know.
And a lot of people, you know, there's lots of rumors go around on the Internet and stuff. But, you know, the CIA is behind Al-Qaeda.
Well, they always have been.
Right.
You know, false flag stuff. I saw this thing. I was really disappointed in the History Channel.
Yeah.
The other day I saw this thing mocking the terror, you know, the theorists, you know.
Yeah.
About 9/11. I couldn't believe the History Channel sold out.
Yeah, they're sold out. Of course they are. They're bought and paid for.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, believe it.
Yeah,
it's more of the propaganda.
I love to watch a lot of their stuff on the Third Reich and all that, and a lot of stuff on modern marvels and all that. But man, they put out some pure
when it
crap.
Comes to 9/11, that's a whole other subject right there.
Yeah, I know.
They have been bought and paid for on that one.
Yeah, so
know the party line.
Yeah.
God forbid that we might tell the truth of what happened that day.
And I've been warned by the government to be careful. They'll probably start moving money around in people's bank accounts. That's pretty much very, very, very quickly. That's what they're going to do.
Oh, of course.
Because what is Al-Qaeda's purpose? To destroy our economy. That's the main thing they want to do.
Right.
And let Americans die a slow death.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where cyber warfare, but obviously it started already. You know, it has now, you know, engaged.
Do you see us having a stock market crash?
Have I seen it?
Yeah.
Well, they did the same thing in 1900, and they did the same thing in 1929. Same game.
Yeah.
So they start the mortgage, you know, the basic plan is for about 10 years, you give money away. Anybody can get a credit card right now.
Right.
They don't even give a credit check. They send you one. They give money. That's Chinese money. They give money away. People go out. They get seconds on their houses.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because they don't have enough money for a down payment. So they get them a nice big second.
Uh-huh.
They strain that second way out there. So that second is probably a 10% of what the down payment, house payment is. So if you have $1,000 a month, $100 of it's your second. And then they start calling in the second.
Mm-hmm.
And they start closing down the mortgage companies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the banks can go out and repossess the houses. Well, this immediately drives everything down, and it drives people into bankruptcy. It drives them crazy. It puts them out of a house, and the stock market goes crashing down. It affects them, and then they have a depression. And now they've assimilated a lot of people's houses and a lot of other assets, and then they build the economy back and let them start all over again. And that way they keep people busy, supposedly out of their hair politically, because they're too busy trying to make a living and having that taken away from them. I mean, this goes back centuries. It's an old, old game, but people don't get it at all.
You don't think maybe this game of chess is at checkmate right now, though, and that they're making this final push? Because they know a lot of people are waking up to their games.
Yeah,
and
well, they are waking up. There's no doubt about it.
And that this is the final end game on who gets to go home with the prize.
Yeah.
Whether we the people and the light win, or whether we go into this tyranny and martial law, and this will be a time that we remember as the best times of the late great America.
Well, you know, everybody says there's nothing, you know, I'm glad I'm living in this time. It's the most exciting time of my life. That's a dumb statement.
Yeah.
Any time you're alive, it's the best time of your life, regardless of what lifetime it is, what
right.
It was, or when it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to accept that you're there. If you don't accept you're there, then you're not having much fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I my thing is I have a lot of things to play with, but I'm not attached to it all because I've had it all taken away a few times before in bad investments and things I've done in my life. I've been broke
right.
And made money and broke a few times. So
that's
I know how to
life. That's just life learning.
Totem
yeah.
Pole.
Yeah.
You know, and but I know the game.
Yeah.
Now I've made arrangements where I can put things away and people can't find it, and then I can move on. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I can survive during these dry periods.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people don't have that ability. You know,
I know.
It's like a drug dealer, you know.
And
you
this is really going to hit them, too.
Drug dealing, you better have $1 million hidden away for your defense when you get caught. You know, otherwise,
yeah.
You're not a very smart drug dealer.
Exactly.
And that's
yep.
The way it is in normal business. If you're doing have a business, you better have enough to make that business survive with no income for a long period of time, or
mm-hmm.
That business won't last.
Mm-hmm.
It might last. It'll last till it dies, and then it will die.
Yeah.
And then you'll never resurrect it.
Uh-uh.
So.
No, it's hard to do it once it's gone.
It's
hard to get it back.
It's pretty hard to bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty hard.
And it's a lot harder to start another one now than it used to be. You know.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
So do you see us going to this North American Union then?
Yeah, because we're already there, and I don't see the people having any say in it.
Well, I think...
Not a word.
But the big question that I'm hearing from people
yeah.
is the question of, how will this affect the common person like ourselves out here?
Put you out of work.
It'll what?
Nobody will have a job.
Well, unless you want to work for peanuts.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. People, you know, like in this town... I've been trying to find a bookkeeper now for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I have an accountant. I have somebody that does my taxes. He's darn good at it.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about grabbing the receipts on a daily basis, filing them away, putting
yeah.
them in the QuickBooks, just the normal maintenance.
A daily bookkeeper, yeah.
I have been trying for 2 years. I have one guy comes in. I hired him last year. I got a bill for $2,100.
Whoa!
He didn't do anything.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Didn't
do anything. My accountant only charges half that.
Yeah.
Does a whole lot more than that.
Yeah.
Then I had a lady come over the other day. She says, I charge you $39 an hour, and I'm quick.
Well, he better be
my girl,
real
my girl
quick.
Was sick that day, and she didn't show up to make the meeting. And the lady had to drive about 3 or 4 miles to my office. Nobody was there. The office was closed. Okay.
Wow.
Unprofessional on our part, yes. But she sends me a bill. Well, let me tell you the story. So then finally we apologize. She comes over a second time. And she spends about 2.5 hours telling us what we already knew. Okay?
Okay.
And then she tells my girl that works down there, Michaela, she says, I will, I'll do this for you for $39 an hour.
Yeah.
She doesn't do anything. She takes a copy of QuickBooks and goes into my computer, takes a copy of QuickBooks, which is not up to date, which is useless because it's, you know, it's needs
right.
to update. That's what I want her for. So she
yeah.
takes a copy of nothing. And then she goes home, and 3 days later, she sends me a bill for $1,000.
Woo!
Yeah.
What was the services rendered?
3 hours at $40 an hour, $120.
Well, that'd be $120. Where'd the thousand come in?
Then 3 hours again for talking to my girl, saying nothing, right?
Uh-huh.
A couple hours to do something, you know, with the QuickBooks thing that has nothing on it, and a $500 retainer agreement.
Retainer?
Yeah, which she didn't mention. In other words, she was asking for a $500 retainer, which was never mentioned until I got the bill.
And that was after the fact, I guess.
Yeah. I called on Michaela and says, she says that she spoke to you and there's a $500 retainer to get her services, and she's charging us 6 hours for doing nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I got on the phone, and I ripped her a new rear end.
I'm sure you did.
And you know what she ended up getting?
Uh-uh.
I gave her a check for $120 and told her to take a hike.
I know, that's right.
That's how accountants work.
Well, you know, Dr. Bell, I have a feeling that, well, that's how a lot of different professions work
yeah,
today.
Yeah, they're really sick.
The American people, especially your professionals, not all, so I don't want to offend everybody out here, but there are a lot of us, and we have to admit it, that we have really gotten to think that we're high, lofty, and almighty, and we're about to get knocked down off of our pedestals and brought back to a reality check.
Yeah. Well, in this housing thing, one of my comments to Mikel was the other night, we were talking about it, because I was on the Internet, about these mortgage companies going down like flies, laying
yeah.
out 800 people and 1,000
yeah.
people, and one of them like 10,000 people.
Countrywide, just announced tonight.
The real estate agents that bring people there are the greediest SOBs that I know of.
Oh, yes.
The real estate agents are horrible.
Yeah.
You know, I can smell them, and because we got a lot of them here in town, because there's a lot of houses for sale in Laguna Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, every other house is up for rent or for sale right now.
Yeah.
Fine with me.
Yeah.
And I don't care if my house dropped in half value, because I don't want to get rid of it, and it doesn't matter what it's worth. I know what I paid for it. And
that
I don't care
is my opinion,
what it's worth,
too.
You know
yep.
what I mean? But
yep.
they try to, I want to sell it for you, and blah, blah, blah. You know, just like, get out of town.
Yeah.
So, an unemployed real estate agent to me is icing on the cake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I could hire one of them to be a bookkeeper.
Maybe. They might get real humble before this is over with.
Yeah.
You know? There's going to be a lot of professional people getting real humble.
Yeah.
They're gonna get the feel of what it's like to wonder where your next meal's going to come from.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah, you're right.
And a lot of them, well, just like back in the stock market crash in 1929, a lot of people were jumping out of windows. And I think that you're probably going to see a similar scenario this time around, too.
Well, I think a real estate agent going out of a window is a beautiful sight.
Yeah.
That would be better than a beautiful bird flying, you know?
Yes, because they're part of the, like lawyers, they're part of the blood-sucking
wheel
of American
thing on lawyers
consumerism.
Is, what's really sad is a school bus full of lawyers going off a cliff with one empty seat.
Yeah. They should be
sad.
Killing it.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I think that we're in for some interesting times here in the not very far distant future.
Oh, I agree.
And, you know, the unknown is always scary.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
but I can't help but think about the Mayan calendar, and we're in what they call the long night period right now. And before, and when you come out that night into day, well, night's always a little scary, isn't it? Because you can't see what's around that corner, around that bend.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always the look of chaoticness and disarray and everything right before change comes.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe we have to go through this phase in order to come out on the other side with a much better knowledge of who we are spiritually. Material things do not make us.
Oh, I agree.
You know?
No, it's true. And I think America's in for a big wake-up call between the new quantum mechanic, the quantum computers.
Yeah.
And all the other stuff. It's a real zoo out there these days.
Yeah. Well, did you see, I can't think of the gentleman's name, but they just announced it was on Coast to Coast the other night up there, where you could link to it and go to some out there, where is it, Arizona, New Mexico, where they've got the new international airport?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Interstellar airports, what they're calling it.
Oh, yeah. Like Bob Rutan or somebody.
Yes, there you go. Bob Rutan.
From Virgin Airlines. Richard.
Virgin Airlines, right. And they
finally went public with it. He thinks ahead, you know.
Yeah. Well, they went public, and they're actually claiming by, I think it's 2009, that they're going to have some of these freighter ships going up. They're going to be doing mass production on space stations that orbit Earth. And
yeah, they're also going to be going out to the moon, setting up a colony and mining that, too.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's all in the works. Guess what? We're out of time here. I got to get off the air and let the next guy on.
Okay.
Yeah, we went through half an hour off in 20 seconds.
Yeah. That was fast.
That was good hearing from you again.
Well, you have a great evening.
All right.
Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay, thanks for coming.
Bye-bye.
All right, this is the end of Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show for this weekend, other than the CAN show, which will be tomorrow night. I appreciate everybody down in Florida at Tantalk 1340. And I'm going to start up my new motorcycle here. I just bought it. Let's see what it sounds like. Wow, I like the thrust on this puppy. What a ride. See you next week.
Hi there, this is Christoph Goes. You'll be listening to news.